As sleep descends, one might experience a dream of other places. An elaborate thing descended upon the mind from out of fantasy, constructed carefully in advance, and then phrased openly, verbally, and yet drifting through the senses, evoking the others, so that it is as well a tactile, olfactory, and visual experience. Your mind's eye able to conjure the little experiences which are presented here, to remember their starkness, dream of their pleasures, and invent plenty of things beyond the boundaries of this story of you that is here being presented, absorbed, and etched indelibly on your life experience. You will have heard these things. You will have allowed them to insinuate into you. You will be associated with, marked by, and entrained to the following, simply because it will live in your memory. A deliberate attempt to simply remove a memory will only make it more poignant, more important, more prominent in the mind. And so this will remain with you as you listen, as you relax, as you descend. There are certain spaces where it is quiet and peaceful, even though there is ambient noise. Think of the bustle and movement, all of it purposeful and yet leisurely, of a coffee shop or a little street-side cafe. The small tables, some with laptops, some simply with the day's paper, some with drinks or food, some without. All occupied by people in a certain mode, in a certain mood as well. Individuals who either have an air of busyness about them, of deliberate motion, or else are temporarily stalled in the recesses between two kinds of deliberate action. Speaking of deliberation, little things ascend to the senses, enough that the mind fills in everything else, but there is always pleasurably drifting in among the familiar sensations, the archetype of this place, so easily embedded on one's mind. Little seat by the window, high, comfortable, perhaps papers, perhaps a laptop, perhaps a bag, perhaps none, perhaps food, perhaps none. But all of that is ultimately irrelevant, because they are all components which will swiftly become less relevant to our story, deeper. There, in that place where people only move when it is to leave, or to order, or to stir into a more comfortable position, in a place where people move in curves, leisurely, someone moves directly toward you, seated, as one is, by the window. A figure of medium build, and yet curvaceous, moving toward you with a deliberateness. You glance about, wondering if somebody else is who she's looking for. But no, she's heading directly toward you. Well, she tilts to one side, taking the seat next to yours. Her hair, shoulder length, brown. Eyes, brown, very light. Glasses perched on the tip of her nose. Long lashes. Glancing at you. Running one long-fingered hand over her cheek. And then, perhaps you drawn in by the eyes, or perhaps by the purr of her voice, she simply says, "Hello." There's a faint clink as she reaches out. Her hand seems to brush the cups in front of you, nestled there. One must be hers. But her hand is on the way to your face to lightly brush your cheek, descending and scratching your collarbone lightly when her hand slides down past the nape of your neck, down and around the front, resting there, and then withdraws, smiling, her lips red. She traces them now with the same finger that just ran across your chest. A strangely, intimately familiar gesture, but something about the confidence with which she does it denies any refusal or discomfort. This is a person comfortable in that moment of interaction, in that touch previously unthought of, and now unthinkably inviting. And then she reaches over and picks up one of the mugs from the counter, raising it. She offers it, but then, rather than let your hand take hold of it, and oh, your hand was rising to do so, she instead brings it up and blows lightly on the steaming surface of the drink, dark and incomprehensible, her eyes locked with yours. They're almost half-lidded, an invitation for you to do the same. And once you've begun that drowsy gesture, something about the presence, about the way she's been tapping, tapping, tapping her fingers on the countertop in an unnoticeable way until now, something about all of it invites you to close your eyes completely. And then when you feel the rim of the cup settled against your lips, to open and drink greedily. The mixture is tasteless, but it slides down your throat, warm and invigorating. And as it does so, your body feels different. Placing your finger on the difference is quite difficult, but your hands certainly came up and took possession of the cup to gulp greedily the contents as she withdrew hers. And let out a small, not entirely kind, but very intrigued laugh. And then she stands up. And, as if in obedience to some unspoken call, so too do you, feet finding the floor comfortably and securely. It is at that moment that everything becomes vague, as if the 3D world had become 2D, flat. She reaches one hand for yours. The mere brush of her fingertips against your palm are so, intricately satisfying that your eyes cross with the pleasure. This does nothing to reduce the visual effect, but you leave them that way anyway. It does seem unimportant to do anything else with them. This changes your vision around and makes it hard to see, but given that she's guiding you carefully out the door, leaving everything behind, that's less relevant. To any outside observer, it would look like an attractive woman. We're leading you out the door. We're guiding you somewhere else. It's a very short time later. You hear the click of a door being opened. You barely retain the journey to the car as she seats you in the back seat and closes the door. By this point, whatever she'd given you is already fading from you. It seems to have only induced that vague compliance for moments. Or perhaps it's because you're moving, and there was more to your compliance than merely what you drank. In either case, there is a glass divider between you and her. Something that divides the car in two portions. She is seated in the front. You hear the engine hum to life, and your head shakes as if emerging from a reverie. You look at her, What's she doing? Perhaps you reach forward and tap on the glass, only to find it quite impervious to any harm. And perhaps you say something, but she does not appear to hear it. At that moment, she reaches forward to a set of small controls next to the radio, but not associated with it. She presses a knob with an audible click, and the hiss that follows is barely audible except that you were listening for it. And when you hear it, you reach up and attempt to cover your mouth and nose, trying to hold your thoughts in, even as a mist enters the air, colorless, odorless. But when it enters your mouth and your nostrils, which it must do, for your hands alone are insufficient to keep it out, it brings with it a pleasant, euphoric fog, a desire to lean back into the plush seats. You hear her voice, make sure you do up your seatbelt. And, despite the circumstances, despite anything else, one hand moves to your right, one to your left, sealing the belt quite intently. Yes. It feels so natural to follow even that small request. The scenery that mills by is a blur, but your existence lying on the seat, head tilted to one side, mouth hanging open, long, deep breaths seeming to stroke every inch of your flesh, reminding you that this feels great. And there are very few thoughts. What few there are wrapped in molasses drizzling down your mind, leaving it sluggish and slow and pleasured. It seems like no time at all before, with another click, she undoes her belt and rises, moving to the back seat and opening the door. It's darker here, dim. In a pause, you see the window of the car, the opening of the door, the dim light inside a wide concrete space, but, perplexingly, when your foot comes out of the car, it settles down into soft, plush carpet. She tisks, and it bespeaks the effect of the vapor on your mind that you instantly, almost hurriedly, perhaps eagerly, reach down to slide off your shoes. There's a wonderful sensation as your feet touch the plush carpet. But then she meets your eyes, brown eyes boring into yours. She makes that clicking of her tongue, that disapproving sound, once more. You sit there, hanging between waking and sleeping, still under the effect of that euphoric agent, wondering what she wants you to do. She simply points downward, and then you notice a pair of knee pads sitting there. Almost automatically, your hands move downward, removing all clothing below your waist. A quick, sliding maneuver, as if some rampant part of your mind were desperate to be nude down there. And then, that movement one more time, the slumping of her shoulders as if you were disappointing. Through its pink fog, your mind clearly thinks that disappointing her would be bad. After all, such pleasure has rampaged through your body over the last short little while. The door slides closed as you stand, bare feet rubbing through the carpet. She walks forward, one hand resting on your bare hip, her fingernails incising there. She nods at you, and your hands move over your chest, denuding it as well and leaving you there, but in this place, a garage, now that you seem more capable of noticing. The door has been closed, and it is thoroughly warm and safe. A warm humidity that caresses the skin. And then she points to the knee pads. But first, before you're allowed to go to hands and knees, which does seem like a tempting prospect, everything that is merely suggested seems like a great idea. When your mind is left empty, any idea that passes through it seems like a good one. She pauses, splaying your legs open, your legs shoulder-width apart. Your arms moved out to the sides as she runs her hands down your sides, then across your buttocks, between your legs, a mere cursory inspection, rubbing down your thighs, across your flank, exploring your flesh. And only after that, her eyes still boring into yours, does she order you to hand and knee. Doing so will bring you eye level with her knees, and as you slowly descend, as you find the comfortable padding, and you see her, perhaps impatient, or, as you might find yourself thinking later, perhaps making sure you're still under the effects of that wonderful vapor by the time you make it where you're going, she buckles them for you, and her hands linger, exploring the backs of your knees with thin, searching fingers, the hair about her head and shoulders tossing as she laughs, barely restraining her mirth, shoulders shaking. She pauses to run her fingers through your hair, a maneuver that seems strangely alluring. Maybe on some level you want that again. But when she walks in front of you, you are able to see the backs of her knees. You are able to see her bare feet as well. And you're able to feel yourself automatically trailing after, following her, going where she leads. The plush white carpet here is comfortable, luxurious, well-maintained, clearly vacuumed every day. And you are led there. The walls are bare and spartan, although here and there is a tall metal cabinet. Perhaps it bespeaks the gradual wearing off of the vapor you were subjected to, that it is at this time, while the strangeness of the situation would not reach you, wondering what's inside the cabinets does. Following her, her footsteps leave little indentations in the plush carpet. And her walk is svelte and seductive, her hips swaying in front of you, leading you. She looks so attractive, although in the light of your situation, almost anyone would to your empty, compliant mind, as you are led slowly through the door, which closes behind you with a rousing clang, and you are simply left there. Absent her intervention or statements, absent orders, you find yourself on hands and knees on the plush carpet. Perhaps you imagine that a vague and goofy smile would creep across your face soon. It might already be there. This is a calm, peaceful place. And before that vapor truly leaves one's system, it tends to clear the stress, the rigors of the day, and focus one so wonderfully on the task at hand. In this case, after a little while, you automatically begin crawling forward until one of your hands fetches up against a metal bar. The metal bar of the cage that you're in. And perhaps that realization shakes you and wakes you up a little. It's a cell more than a cage, although the bars are thickly intertwined and you doubt you could even get a hand through. At this time, assessing your situation, you hear a faint hiss. Maybe it's not as great a concentration, but something is being pumped in here as well. And indeed, it is notable that your escort is not in the room at this time. Looking around, there's a monitor on top of a bench similar to a workbench from a workshop or garage, and the monitor shows you. shows you from the outside, from a camera positioned just above it, so that if you look at the monitor, it's as if you're looking into your own eyes, standing there, nude, slightly sweated in the wonderful warmth of this place. Perhaps a look of slight confusion on your face, but in light of the continuous process of slow, euphoric drifting. It is a calm face, trying oh so hard to put your thoughts together in an order that would enable you to do something. Instead, you lay your cheek against the cool bars and simply stare at the monitor. There seems to be a strange flicker in it. Every now and then, the image changes. Every now and then, the image shows something different. But it would be difficult to place the difference. Certainly, it's always showing you. But a faint shimmering now and then makes your eyes almost roll back in your head as thoughts and words unbidden seek through it. Thinking about your surroundings, you turn, seeing the bars of the cell, the bed laid out with dark black silk sheets. Realizing that the door you entered through looks quite securely locked, and perhaps having your priorities altered by just how good you feel in that situation, you move to the bed in question, placing first your right hand, then your left, down on the silk, which is cool and seductive, in this warm, cloying heat, laying your nude form upon it, the knee pads taken off and laid to the side because it feels right to be nude instead. And then rolling in the sheet, pulling one side of it with you, rolling yourself up in the covers. The coolness of it touches you then. A faint giggle from outside of the bars. You turn your head, some clarity returning, and see standing there the figure from before, but now she's nude as well, except for a pair of black heels. Her nipples are large and round and on display, on pert, high breasts, which are nonetheless full, and the nipples are quite erect. The body itself stands resolute outside the bars as she watches you. And by now, enough independent movement has returned that it is quite possible to stir. She beckons you over, and, not really being capable of finding words at that time, you follow. As she moves around the cage, you perhaps admiring her form, not really wanting to leave the silk sheets, wrapping the sheet around you as you rise, and moving over with that slight covering, even though the silk is smooth and seductive, there standing on warm carpeting, your body being brushed by the wonderful fabric you've cloaked yourself in, as it touches your buttocks, as you curl it closer about your inner thighs, as your shoulders and arms are covered. Plus, it's a sop to modesty which is gradually returning, in light of your slowly clearing mind. Her presence must mean that the vapor has ceased, it seems. And she gestures to the monitor. The monitor which shows you. And so you move to that side of the cage and look at it. Gazing at it. Mouth hanging slack and eyes focused. Now, rather than the crossing or unfocusing which characterized your waiting training state. And as your eyes focus on it, the image of you wavers, as if something were superimposed over it, a spiraling pattern, drawing the eyes in, drawing you to lean forward against the bars. And then, the sheet still around you, you manage to turn your head away. And then, with the slowly returning clarity, you know you shall cease looking at it, that you should refrain from looking at that monitor. There's no way to escape me like that, sweetie, she explains. And, leaning in by the bars, she whispers, you will be nude, you will serve, and you'll beg for the chance. And then, she moves back and pulls a nearby drawstring. There's a faint unfurling as of silk, and the walls of the cage are suddenly covered in white sheets, hiding you from her sight entirely. But then, projectors click to life, the faint electronic hum of the computerized image suddenly projected. An image of you, just like before. But now, when the image flickers, or the spiral superimposes itself, lazily drifting down, it is slower, and therefore, on that projected image, from which you can only avert your gaze by closing your eyes, that image which is everywhere on the walls of your cage. The words are simple. The concepts are suck, nude, serve, kneel, all sorts of useful words that you know will take on added significance. But your eye mostly looks at the image of yourself. Because when you stare at it, your eyes lock with your own. And you think, perhaps, look at that so wanton, wrapped up, ooh, like a present. And the urge to unwrap does fill one's mind. Indeed, to unwrap the beautiful stranger that you're gazing upon on that image, all you need do is cast the sheet off from your shoulders and let it fall. A natural, normal gesture. And it is, perhaps, when the sheet starts to lower from your shoulders that your shaken mind manages to reassert itself and you close your eyes, at which point the faint hissing begins as the room is gradually filled with that euphoric mist which deprives reason in favor of slowly drifting. Indeed, tackling it with your eyes closed just makes you feel more and more docile. And then the words, like whispering, play through your mind, through your cage, and you know that if your eyes are closed, you will be quite tempted by the hypnotic, droning, soothing nature of the words until they train you completely. Always nude, kneeling, serving, submitting. Nude, kneeling, serving, submitting, again and again. The words play over your consciousness, tempting. Maybe you lick your lips. Maybe you place one arm under the pillow behind your head, the soft, silken pillow. When did you end up on the bed? Hard to tell, but very easy to surrender to it. Your refusal to stare at the images seems to have tempted this vast buildup of euphoric agent. And as you press the pillow into your face with your forearm curled behind it, imagining suck, lick, imagining it's the wet, parted lips of the figure you just saw go out of sight being pressed to your face instead, for you to suck, serve, submit, kneel. Nude, kneeling, sucking, serving, submitting. And then the vapor reaches a critical mass, and you hear her words as if through a speaker. Open your eyes. And when you open your eyes, you can see the image, lazily turning your head to the right so that your ear touches the cooled pillow, gazing at the flickering, spiraling you, the sheet having been cast open, revealing your body nude and splendid, gazing. This goes on for a little while longer, And the thoughts that occur to you may be quite aroused and strange. And then your feet find the plush carpet, because the shades have rolled up, revealing her once more. But now she's close to the bars. Now she's standing, so that if you leaned in close, you could probably get your tongue or your nose through to lick or suck. Certainly the way she's leaning against the cool bars, the bar placed between her breasts, is placing them within your reach. With her hips canted to one side, giving access to her pussy as well, she beckons you over and points to her pert nipples, made all the more rigid and needy by the coolness of the bar between her sweated breasts. She's clearly turned on by the scenario because dripping down her inner thighs are her juices. And she says one word, and that word, in light of the little training, suck, serve, submit. Kneel, nude, and suck, and serve, and submit. She says, suck. And your mouth, as if drawn in by some force outside of you, moves to her nipples where they stand obstinately between the bars, capturing her nipple, sucking, feeling her hand capture your hair. Feeling her pull you in, and you wrapping your arm through the bars behind her body, weak for any purpose except to draw her closer, as automatically as you pressed a pillow to your face moments before, sucking deeply, drinking in the serving and submitting, feeling her in front of you, your body nude, serving her purposes, serving her ends. Speaking of, she then pulls your head away and you feel disappointed, even as the euphoric haze is beginning to fade. Something else is replacing it. The ardent pleasure of this place, its dreamlike quality, the safety. She pushes you down and you don't need much as you kneel, nude, and she presses her pussy almost through the bars, canting her hips forward, her legs splayed, and you press your face desperately, feeling the cold on your cheeks, the sides of your head, your tongue extended fully, just barely managing to capture her pushing nub, sucking deeply, feeling your body respond hot. Kneeling, nude, sucking, serving, submitting. Whether the words are still playing through the place or merely superimposed on your brain from the images you kept watching, as much as you may have tried not to, closing your eyes would just more effectively submit to the audio suggestions, and watching would just more effectively submit the visual suggestions. Inescapable and inescapably pleasurable. In the haze of serving, she tastes like honey and dapples your cheeks and lips with her juices. Her hands grip the back of your head, reaching through the bars above you. You can taste her parted lips already aroused. Feel the canting of her hips as you reach through, gripping her buttocks to press her into your face desperately. More so, more so. And then you hear the best sound in the world as she reaches over and unlocks the cage.